And joining us right now on PMP Network is Dennis Franz. You know him as the adorable and lovable Andy Sipowicz on NYPD Blue. He's the hard-boiled detective. You might remember that show. Of course you do. And as Lieutenant Norman Bunce on the Hill Street Blues show. And actually, he was another character on that show, too. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk to Dennis about fashion and his wife, Joni. They have a new project together. We're going to talk about that as well. And welcome to the show, Dennis.
Thank you. I have to say, this is the first time that Andy Sipowicz has been introduced as adorable. But thank you for that. I'm sure he appreciates it.
Well, it's interesting to note, and we're going to go through our Facebook stuff in a little while and ask some of the questions that people out there want to know. But one of the women that was out there did refer to Andy as adorable. So.
Okay, I'll take that. Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, well, we'll talk about that in a minute because I want to talk about some other things first. But before you got into acting, you went to Vietnam, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I was in the Army and stationed in Vietnam for a year, 69, came home in 70, yes. Infantry, I was in two reconnaissance units with the 82nd and 101st Airborne Divisions.
I want to make sure people understand that that you served your country and, you know, back then... when you guys came back from Vietnam, it wasn't always to a great applause like it is now for the Iraq.
In fact, Mark, if I can I just interrupt a second, I just recently did the National Memorial concert in D.C. With a dear friend of mine, Joe Montaigne, who has been hosting it, he along with Gary Sinise, another fellow Chicagoan, for the last 10 years. But my participation was reading an excerpt from a fellow Vietnam veteran who came back 40 years ago and was so distraught with the experience and the lack of reception when he returned, that 40 years his life really turned into a downspiral and had many misfortunes fall upon him, losing his businesses and his families and his wife, and was homeless for a long time. Now he's just getting his act together, but the reception coming back from Vietnam was mixed, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, mixed is being polite. It's not the way it is now, and I'm very thankful that the people that come back from Iraq and Afghanistan are being greeted as heroes like they should have been doing with the people from Vietnam.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I will never pass a man or woman in uniform without thanking them for their service. And, you see them in the airports all the time, and now I'm happy to say that often I have to get in line to say thanks and shake their hands because everybody's doing that, and it's so well appreciated by the returning vets, and so I'm glad we've changed our attitude.
As am I, and I think it's very important that we do. Which brings me to politics. Are you involved in politics at all? Are you supporting anybody at all in this race?
I have stayed away from politics, at least letting my opinions be known. I'm in the Romney camp.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, good. That's a good camp to be in, because we've already seen what the other camps produced. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I've made that choice pretty firmly.
Mm. Now, let's ask you a little bit about your acting career, because it seems to me like pretty much every character you've played has been a police officer. Was that something that happened early in your career? I know you even did Shakespeare, but you ended up doing police work everywhere.
You know, I was with a repertory company in Chicago called the Organic Theater Company for 5 years. That was the beginning of my career in the 70s, in the beginning of the 70s. And along with, as I mentioned, my dear friend Joe Montaigne, he was a part of the same company. We had done many shows for 5 years, and they're usually big, entertaining shows. And then we focused on a smaller show called Cops, and it was about two off-duty Chicago police officers. And that was the very first time I played a cop role, but I love the study of men and women who do police work for a living. And in our research of these characters, we would go out and find places that cops would frequent, like diners and restaurants, and sit near them and just observe them and watch their behavior and try to overhear their dialogue. And then we actually went out a few times on the street and see if we could handle ourselves and be accepted as cops. So my father used to have a car that was not unlike a police car, like an unmarked police car. And we would use that and drive into certain areas and just see the response. Well, that was the beginning of my portraying police officers. I truly enjoy that. I have nothing but the greatest respect for people who do that for a living. And it kind of snowballed. Once you do one thing that gets the attention of somebody, other people in the acting world ask you to do similar types of roles. And so 29 cops later, here I am.
You know, I one of the things that you did, which I thought was interesting, in fact, it doesn't happen much, on Hill Street Blues, which is a show that I watched every episode of. I love that show. You played Officer Sal Benedetto, who was a corrupt cop and who killed himself. But then yet 2 seasons later, you came back as Lieutenant Norm Bunce. How did that happen?
Well, what happened was, I'll try to summarize as quickly as possible, but the initial episodes that I had to do as Sal Benedetto on Hill Street, it was the third year of the show, and I was brought in for 2 episodes where my participation, yes, I was a dirty cop and not a very good guy and self-serving, and ended up starting a fight with Officer Renko and then Bobby Hall. Not Bobby Hall, but I forgot the character's name. But anyways, I get taken out of that episode. And then they brought me back for the final 3 episodes of that season in a real nice arc in which I dig myself into a hole and get into all kinds of trouble and left with no decision. I end up committing suicide in a bank vault. So then they put me on another show called Bay City Blues about a minor league baseball team. And that was the next logical step for me to go into that thing. So Stephen Bochco, the producer of the show, became the producer of this show. That failed, and after that show of 1 year, Bay City Blues, 1 year failing, then I came back and I said, now what are we going to do? How can I get back on the show? I said, I'll do anything to get back on the show. I can. Whatever hair I have left on my head, you can dye it blonde. I'll get rid of my mustache. I'll come back as my long-lost gay brother from Del Benedetto. Whatever you want to do. And we had a laugh about it, but he says it's not going to happen. Year later, the 6th year of the show, new producers of the show called me and said, we don't care. We're going to bring you back as this new guy, Lieutenant Bunce. And I said, well, are people going to accept me? And they said, we don't care, but they will. Those true devoted fans of the show will certainly recognize you as Sal Benedetto, but they'll forget you once you develop this new character. And fortunately, that's the way it turned out. So that was the shortened version of that.
Well, actually, it turned out even better than you said, because Bunce was so popular, they actually spun off a show, Beverly Hills Bunce, for him.
You're right, yes. And again, that should have been a natural, because he was an interesting character. He was a well-liked character by the audiences, and they had a great relationship with his informant on the show, and that was the spinoff. And it was a new breed of show, which now you find them all the time. But at the time, it was a half-hour, what we call dramedy, and it was drama with comedy mixed in, and it was only a half hour. Well, that was confusing to the networks at the time. They didn't understand if it's a half-hour show, it has to be a comedy, can't be a drama, and what's this mixture of drama with comedy? And so it was lost in the confusion, and we didn't make it, unfortunately. It should have been a natural decision.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was going to be a big hit, but again, for various reasons, it didn't take.
Yeah.
But now you had some number of things, that happened. But I mean, really, getting the Detective Andy Sipowicz role turned out to be huge. And Sipowicz, was just voted recently as one of the top 100 characters on Bravo's greatest TV characters list, number 23. And you got 4 Emmy Awards for the role. So you took that role and you really developed it.
Well, thank you. But I give all the credit to the writers of the show, particularly the executive producer along with Stephen Bochco, David Milch, who was the head writer on the show. And there is a lot of the character of Andy Sipowicz that is inherent in David Milch, and he was able to incorporate a lot of his personal demons and problems and dilemmas into that character, and I just welcomed them with open arms. And there was also a New York detective who was an executive producer on the show, Bill Clark, and he was a well-decorated New York detective that he made sure that everything we did procedurally correct, and we paid the proper respect to the men and women who do police work. So I really designed my character after a form of Bill Clark and David Milch, and thanks to those two men, we came up with this character, Andy Sipowicz.
Well, it was an interesting character, and again, interesting times. And one of them, we just got a Facebook message from someone named Dwayne, who said, "Was there a body double in the butt scene on NYPD Blue?"
What butt scene?
I don't know.
Did they body double?
Yeah.
Oh, come on!
That was very controversial when you had that scene.
Yes, it was, and unfortunately, I mean, we got so I don't know if it's unfortunately or what, but. Yeah, we got a lot of, no pun intended, a lot of exposure because of that and because of our partial nudity on the show and the language that we used. For the times, it was pushing the envelope quite a bit. Now it's pure family entertainment by the standards of some of the television shows out there now, but at the time, it was pretty risque, and we were pushing things. As far as my particular involvement on the nudity thing, you know, I mean, I know what I look like, and I know what my rear end looks like, and to show that on TV was, you know, taking a big chance. But I think Sharon Lawrence, who was in the shower scene with me, she sort of saved the day by stepping in, and she took the impact away from my sorry rear end.
Well, that's the one of the most memorable scenes of that show that people still talk about all the time.
I know. Jay Leno has had a ball with that one.
Mm. Now, let me, here's another question that just came in. When are we going to see you on TV or in a movie soon?
Well, at the end of NYPD Blue, I really wanted to take time off. That was a long grind, 12 years, and I wanted to take 1 year off and spend with my family and my grandkids. Now that has, and that first year went by in about 10 minutes. It was a blink of an eye. I enjoyed myself thoroughly, and I said, I'm pretty good at this, doing nothing and spending time with the family and golf, and I'm really enjoying life right now. So that went by so fast, I said, nah, give me some more time. And now it's looking like pretty comfortable for me to continue to not work. So I don't know if I get scripts, I still look. I'm not going to say the door is closed completely, but it's going to take a lot to get me to change my mind about my lifestyle right now. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Well, Pamela, who asked that question, is probably going to be very disappointed in your answer.
Thank you.
From Dan comes, asked, how did you like doing the A-Team?
Oh, well, at the time, it was a hugely popular show, and Mr. T and George Papard and all those guys were first on the list on television, so I was very happy to work with them and get to meet them and be a part of that show, and I had a lot of fun, and it was great. I actually did that show twice. So I enjoyed it.
And someone else asked how you enjoyed the movie Body Double. They enjoyed the movie, and they wanted to know how it was on set.
Thank you. Brian De Palma, the director of Body Double, I met him in Chicago when he was doing a movie called The Fury, and I had a small role in that with Kirk Douglas and John Cassavetes. I had a small role in that one. That developed a friendship. He was one of the two directors who encouraged me, if I wanted to do more film or television, to leave the Chicago arena and go to either New York or California. The other director being Robert Altman, I had done a small part in one of his films. So I became parts of both of their recurring characters. And after The Fury, that Brian De Palma directed, came Dress to Kill. And after Dress to Kill, then Body Double was next. And Body Double was a very unique experience because I was playing a director within a film. Body Double. I was playing.
You played Reuben in that film. Yeah.
And they said when it came time for costume, he said, "What? How do you see yourself?" And I just pointed to Brian. I said, "There." I said, "Exactly like him, Brian De Palma." So they dressed me with Brian's clothes, and that's how wardrobe was chosen. And I sort of watched him to get a sense of where my character would go as a director, this director within the film. So it was a very unique experience, though, and I enjoyed it very much.
And someone else actually wrote in about another film that you did. They want to know what your take was on the Psycho 2 film.
Psycho 2, well, that was, you know, having asked to be a part of that franchise, that memorable film, Psycho, I mean, that played a big part in my upbringing. I remember when that was released, the first time it was released, and the strong impact it had on me. So my interest was piqued when I was asked to be a part of it. And just to see the Bates Motel, meet Anthony Perkins, to work with him. I had actually worked with him before on another film, a small part, and I got to know him there, but to work closely with him on this one was, I was honored. I found him to be a very dear man, and I enjoyed the experience very, very much. Interesting when we were filming at Universal Studios and they would have the Universal tours and they'd pass by and see the Bates Motel, and every now and then you'd see Perkins up there, and for the people that were riding by getting the tours of Universal Studios would get a real bonus to see Anthony Perkins walking out of the Bates Motel. So that was pretty great.
I think it would be. You know, one of the things about movies is that when you're filming them, you never know what they're going to end up like when they're done. Sometimes you might think it's not going to be very good, and it shows up to be beautiful. Out of all the films you filmed, what do you think was the most surprisingly good one, and which one was disappointing?
Well, I know the one that is most loved, but that I think that I get the most response from. There's two of them, Die Hard 2 and City of Angels. I know people are fond of those, and I think City of Angels turned out a really good film. Actually, that's a remake of an old German movie called Wings of Desire that a director named Wim Wenders did, and the character I played is played by Peter Falk in that one. That's a very interesting one. But that movie, I think, is a very good theatrical experience, and Die Hard 2, part of that whole franchise, all the Die Hard things. Again, that always holds up. That action movie holds up, and I watch that occasionally when it's on, and I think it's still holding up as a pretty good one. I personally, I did one with Dustin Hoffman. It was a three-character film called American Buffalo. That was one I had the highest expectations for. It was just the three of us, and it's a David Mamet play. David is a friend of ours, but he was filming this, and I was hoping this be a very wonderful movie. I think it's good, but it certainly has a very limited audience, and it's a lot of dialogue. But That's my take on it.
Well, I appreciate your honesty on that. Let's ask you a little bit here. Actually, you just mentioned Die Hard 2, but someone had asked about, they said that you were starring in a Dixie Chicks video for Goodbye Earl, that you played an abusive husband in it. I didn't catch that one.
Well, I was, this came about from going on, I think it was either Jay Leno or Oprah, or not Oprah, Rosie O'Donnell, or some talk show that I was backstage and waiting for, the Dixie Chicks were on, and they were coming off, and I was waiting to go on as the next guest. And as they came off, I was standing in the wings, and we spotted each other, and I'm a big fan, and we wooed and nodded each other, and they said, hey, you know, I said, I'm a fan. They said, well, we are too. And they said, how'd you like to do a video? I said, I've never done one before, a music video. And they said, well, you'd have to play a pretty miserable character. And I said, I've done that before, but it hasn't been in a music video. So anyways, they had this song, Goodbye Earl. That's where the relationship started, was on that backstage. They then talked to my agent, and they presented this song, Goodbye Earl, which was about an abusive husband who gets his comeuppance.
Right. And you were that guy.
I just thought they were the greatest gals. I loved the experience because of them. They were so welcoming. It was such foreign territory for me, but they made it so much fun, and I just threw my hat in the ring and went with it, and we had a good time, and they're really wonderful girls. And In fact, I teased them. I said, you better be careful, because you're going to give music a good name if you keep this up, bad behavior that often is represented. But anyways, they're great, great people. It's very memorable, great experience for me.
One last question before we get into the fashion thing that you're into. And that is, someone mentioned it to me, and again, I missed this one too, but they said that you played yourself in an episode of The Simpsons. That must be pretty interesting.
Yeah, again, a fan of The Simpsons, and got a call to play. Actually, it was Homer Simpson was a story about him, about Homer, played by the actor Dennis Franz, playing Homer Simpson in the episode. I was not able to be at the studio. I was filming something in, I think, Texas at the time, so I had to do it by telephone. It was very interesting. They send you a script. That kind of thing you can get away with by, only your voice that's being used, but I sat by a telephone, and they told me the lines, and I gave them like three or four versions of each reading over the phone, and they recorded it, and assured me that it was going to work, and so that's the way it was done, and it was great to see it when I finally saw the episode. It was a funny one.
Now, do you have the box set with that in it?
I do have the box set, yes.
There you go.
I have to say that group of people, the Simpson Company, are the most thoughtful people. They send more, once you become a part of that little family, a part of that group, they never forget you, and they're so thankful for your participation, and they're constantly sending you little thank yous in forms of gifts, little things. Sometimes they're... I did receive the box set because of my involvement that I got, and they send you jackets and all kinds of things just to constantly keep you a part of their family and the thing. And it's much appreciated each time that we receive something.
So tell me about you and Joni, your lovely bride. What's going on in terms of a design house in Santa Barbara?
We purchased a beautiful piece of property in Montecito, which is adjoining Santa Barbara in California. It's just one of the prettiest places, I would say, in the world. We live there. We have a home in Montecito, and we're in love with the area, and on a daily basis, we will look at it from a distance and say, look at how lucky we are. Look how beautiful this area is. It's like being in the French Riviera or in the Italian countryside. Just a beautiful piece of land that we have purchased, just under 2 acres, It has mountain views and ocean views. It was a avocado orchard at the time of purchase. There was a house on it. We were going to rebuild the house, build a new home, take out the avocado orchards, and make a nice piece of property. My wife, we had done this in the past, and this time my wife decided that she would like to give back to the community and philanthropically be involved with the community more. So she was approached by a couple of charity organizations, the Junior League of Santa Barbara, which mentors women to be leading figures in charity organizations, and the Angel Foster Care of Santa Barbara, which is also responsible for finding homes for abandoned or abused infants under 2 years old. Two very wonderful organizations. And her idea then became, if we could represent the Santa Barbara Design House, because Joni got involved with some of the top designers in the country, 12 of them to be exact, to lend their skills to designing various rooms, parts of the house, parts of the property, landscaping, interior, exterior. The house itself, the main house, is 6,000 square feet. There's a cabana, two-bedroom cabana, and a beautiful swimming pool and a covered bocce court and rose gardens and a tree-lined driveway. And it's really a wonderful piece of property and a beautiful home that the designers have contributed their works to this. The proceeds for this, the public can come and view the house for the month of September, beginning September 13th, for 1 month. And they're $35 a ticket, and all the proceeds from the ticket sales go to benefit the Junior League of Santa Barbara. All the proceeds from that will benefit them, and then we are having a launch party, a dinner party that will be attended by celebrities, and there's going to be some well-known entertainment there. Beautiful dinner will be served, and private tours of the house and garden throughout the evening. And that's going to be held September 8th. And all the information, the proceeds that will be received from the auction items, silent and live auction items, will all go to the Angel Foster Care of Santa Barbara. The information for obtaining all this information can be gotten on www.sbdhg.com, which is Santa Barbara Design House and Garden.
You just beat me to it. It's www.sbdhg.com, and all the information's on there, and the list of the people who did the work and all the vendors and tradespeople and everything. It's a huge effort.
There's names that you would recognize: Mary McDonald from Million Dollar Decorator, and a very renowned designer, David Phoenix. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, a local Santa Barbara, LA and Santa Barbara designer called named Ryan Brown has done a beautiful house on the guest bedrooms.
So the information is at www.sbdhg, because we've run out of time. But, Dennis, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and I hope, as many of our listeners do, that you do decide to come back and do something
on
TV.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you to all your listeners. I appreciate that.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
Same here.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.